Hi, and welcome to this new episode of Dreamers and Doers, where I interview people who follow their passion and use it to make the world better. I think that's you, Emmanuel Anthony. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here. And a very powerful weekend. We obviously spent the weekend together. So to do that and then back it up with this, I'm very inspired for what we're doing this week.
Thank you so much. I thought for this episode, we'd do something a little bit differently. Instead of simply interviewing Emmanuel about what he's doing, why he's doing it, and his tips, I thought it'd be really fun to do a little breakthrough session straight with me so people can experience what it's about in a situation, actually. And I find that often it describes better the work. So how we'll do is, Emmanuel, if you want to share for a few minutes what you're doing to give people a little bit of context, and then we will start the session.
Beautiful. So I'm Emmanuel Anthony. I'm a human behavioral specialist, researcher, writer, and consultant. I work one-on-one, so just as we're doing right now, and I also work one-on-many. I've been doing this for 6 years with thousands of clients, nationally and internationally, Australia and around the world. And the major things I'm helping my clients do to keep it very broad and simple, I'm working within the seven areas of life: physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. We're extracting the biggest challenges that they have in their lives, guaranteeing results around resolving those, bringing them into balance, especially around the emotional mind, and helping them achieve and maximize their potential towards acquiring the goals that they want. So in emotions, we're getting the wisdom of the ages about the aging process to make sure that instead of being 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 120 years from now, that you're actually getting the results and overcoming big challenges. You're doing it within minutes and hours. And within business and achieving goals, we're assisting clients. To quickly leave you on one point, I had two beautiful women, one that's 30 years old, the other one that's in her 50s. So you kind of got the opposite spectrums on where they are in their life. And only last year, they all sped up their goals for achieving property, which they wanted to purchase, and the savings for that. And they did that in 2.5 years less than what they did. So it's been really beautiful to be able to assist clients to do things like that so they can master their life and create the life and lifestyles that they desire, but I always say that they also deserve.
Well, that's powerful, and definitely encourage everyone to reach out to you. But I guess what's going to be powerful is to jump into it. Do you want to jump into the...
Yeah, fantastic. So as we were just getting ready for the podcast, Alex and I were talking, and usually when we're doing a break for it, it can go for a couple of minutes to hours. And obviously in today's podcast, we're going to try and synthesize that into a shorter period of time. But one of the areas that Alex mentioned was that when I was speaking on the weekend, he looked and said, I believe I'm not valuing myself enough. And this is probably to a lot of people that are talking, something that they can resonate to. He said, I feel that I could charge more for my service. I know that I'm worth more, but I'm not doing that. So can you just go a little bit into that so I can really help you break through that?
Yeah, in terms of self-worth, I feel there's two things. There's first, I feel I actually don't dare sometimes to, it could be charging for my services as a one-on-one. I do a bit of coaching or even for my events, which I think bring a lot of value. But even more than this, it's linked, of course, but I feel even when I do it, I still have a bit of that imposter syndrome where when I come to someone, for example, for an event, I often forget that they get so much out of it. And I feel like I have that take mentality rather than that give mentality. So when you speak to my higher self and what I do things, I do know that I give a lot, and that was a lot for people, and what I'm doing is beautiful. But in situation, often I have that imposter syndrome a little bit where I feel all these amazing people come to my event and I feel not worthy of it. So for example, last Saturday when there was Nicole Gibson coming, I feel like I'm not at that stage, that I'm a little bit unworthy of. At the end, everyone claps and says thank you. And I still have a little bit of struggle to receive this. So yeah, that self-worth makes that sometimes I think can show up in the way I talk to people, for example, with a bit of an inferiority complex with other conscious leaders. It also brings some unnecessary feeling of neediness, that I need the other people to come as if they give making a favor when they come, which I don't think it is in the end. And it also reflects on the way I'm going to price my services, even though I do believe that in a lot of situations when people pay more, they get more out of it, actually, and that also the money that circulates through me is going to be reinvested in the greater good, so that's good for everyone.
Beautiful. Well, we got a couple of things there. Pardon me for typing. It's just you're throwing just wisdom at me and things that I see and I go, oh, they're great. So if you see me typing, it's because I'm just gathering things that you're saying that are super important. The first one I want to get to is the charging people more. So there's a misconception that it is wiser to give than it is to receive, which is idiotic. It's something that was originally for a lot of religious belief systems. But the truth of the matter is, it's wiser to have equal exchange. And we can take this for all seven areas of life: physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. If you have a friend, so we'll take this in social, and they're always taking from you but never giving, what happens to that friendship, Alex?
Well, it's probably going to die.
So the chance of longevity and prospering is something that minimizes due to the fact that you feel that they're too selfish, too much about them. Now, if you're overly giving to somebody and you're feeling too selfless, you want to kick them away. So selfless, selfish. But even if somebody gives you too much and they're not charging you for it, a bit of an intuition inside of you feels a little bit odd about receiving that, because you feel, what do I owe you for this? Does that make sense?
It does. I'm actually in that situation with a friend of mine at the moment who's giving so much to me, and I'm just learning to receive, because, you know, it's giving without expectations. But I know it makes me a little bit uncomfortable sometimes.
So there's a natural intuition inside of you that will bring you back into balance. Now, fair exchange is something where you ask what you're worth and you hand that out. And when that's accepted and that person gives you equally back in exchange, you want to continue exchanging that person. They're the friendships and the relationships as we evolve in our consciousness that we maximize our potential to, and we start growing more and more of. And that not only maximizes our self-worth, but it maxes how much we can give to others. So the first thing I'm going to work on here is this perception that charging more is somehow an inconvenience to others, when the reality is that for you and for them, there's pleasure and pain. Do you have a pen and a sheet of paper or anything there?
I do.
Can you start off by writing down?
And just on this, it's interesting because I want to, like, there's in that coaching world, there's always you should charge more, charge more, charge more. But to me, there's also a limit to it and certain skills you have. So, for example, in coaching, I didn't do close to all the training you've been doing and have all the experience, right? So what's interesting also for me is I want to see, maybe it's legitimate, you know, maybe you've been to my events, I'm not sure the people want to pay more or they'd be willing to pay more. It's not like I'm Tony Robbins either.
We're gonna, so
it'd be interesting to go through that too.
We're gonna break through that, because you're undervaluing yourself. That's the truth about that. You're going through, remember the booklet that I gave you? Have you got that near you by any chance?
No.
Okay, so in that booklet, you'll see on one of the last pages, the seven fears and the seven powers. And one of the seven fears in terms of finances, not having enough, and social, the fear of other people judging you, or the fear of gain and loss of friendship or people that you have on a pedestal. And that's partially what you're talking about there. But then in the vocation area, you'll see that there's the fear, mental, of lack of knowledge. The truth of the matter is that you have everything that you see in me. We may not be the same intensive amount of study, but you serve people in a different way to what I do. I don't bring 40 people together that have heart-opening experiences very regularly. That's something that you do. So you have a specialized way in which you serve, but you're comparing yourself to me and other people instead of asking, how do you do it? The reason myself and Nicole and everyone, because we're so different. I heard many of the speakers talk and I was sitting there going, no, I do way different than that. I don't agree with that. I wouldn't do that. And they're thinking the same thing about me. But we know one thing, that for every single person that there's out there, there's a unique service that's available for them. So for somebody that I resonate with and somebody I don't, they may resonate with her. And that's where you stand alone and nobody can compete with you. So the minute we honor and embrace that, you'll realize that as long as you honor your wisdom, you continue to grow and evolve. And here's the other thing. You don't need to charge $1 million as a consultant. You want to charge what you know that you're really worth and then grow. When I work with consultants, I say to them, every 6 months, assess where you are and then evaluate your pricing based on an equal exchange of what you're giving more than what you were before. That makes sense? And then I get them to write down 200 ways in which they're serving and giving their clients more value than what they were 6 months ago. And then they can justify that price. And that's what we're going to start off by doing with you today. So I want you to write down the seven areas of life here. Physical, financial. Anybody watching this, feel free to do this as well. If you write down the seven areas of life, these are your seven areas of mastery. So your next areas, social, vocation.
So physical, financial,
Mental, add that in there as well. Social, vocation, which means career. Family. So it's physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. Should be seven there. Beautiful. So I'm going to start off by the value that you give others, and then we're going to build to the value that you give you. So what's the price range that you're currently charging, and what is the price range that you would like to charge?
So for example, for that full day event, it was from 50 for some people who were coming back quite a bit to 110 for the last 3 weeks.
Beautiful. What is the price that you intuitively feel comfortable charging, that you feel that your self-worth would be adequate for that event? Be realistic here.
I would say 150.
Beautiful. Okay, so write 150 on there. Okay, now we're going to look into the seven areas of life. By you changing the pricing, there was 40 people there, so multiply 50 by 40, then you get a lot more money. In fact, I'll tell you exactly what that is, because that increases the production value. Yeah. And everything.
2,000.
2,000. Beautiful. So if you had an extra $2,000, how does that allow you to serve other people within the event?
Yeah, well, we have a lot more budget to add little surprises, to get like fly guest speakers. So for example, on Saturday, we could fly Nicole Gibson from Gold Coast, right, and pay for the Ubers.
Beautiful.
And that's thanks to the fact that people were paying for the previous event and we had a bit of a budget.
Beautiful. So the more money you have, the more you move into the Oprah Winfrey status, where you can increase the level of influence and the influences that you can bring into one space, and you can increase your network that you share with that audience.
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole purpose of it? To share?
Yeah. And actually at the event we did together, we ended up not breaking even, maybe losing like $100, $150.
There you go.
Which I feel like I loved it because it's so good for my brand, and I loved the event in it, and people had a good time and things like this. But then I was like, okay, but I'm only going to do something like this every 3 months.
Right? There you go. I was just looking for that. So if you maximize your financial profit, it increases the level of stress that you have, which means that you can run more. Yeah.
With 2,000 more, I'd be like, let's fucking do it every month for sure and make it even better.
Okay. Yeah. So 40 people, I'm going to do this in my calculations. Are you interested in serving 40 multiplied by 3, which I already know is 120? Or are you interested in doing 40 multiplied by 12?
Can you repeat that?
40 multiplied by 12 months, 480 people.
Mm.
40 multiplied by quarterly equals 120.
Mm.
You have 360 people that you're completely ignoring when you don't charge more money, that you're not serving. And at the event, I noticed something. There were people that came that wanted to change their lives, that were in jobs that they didn't love, that were trying to figure out how to transition to where they wanted to go. And you introduced them to 39 other people that could hold them accountable. So every single month that you're not charging an extra $50 per person, you are saying to 40 people or 80 people over 2 months, I can't help you. Can you see that?
Yeah, that's a very good reframing.
I felt like you felt that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I don't think you can let go.
You can see in my eyes.
I've got it as well.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, I've got tears of gratitude too. Because your inner greatest vision is to wake up in the morning and to share this beautiful technology that you have to connect with as many people as possible to change the world. So for an extra $50, every person isn't giving you 50, they're investing into their growth, and they're investing into you growing another greater community. Now, do you think that the audience that came, if they could go there every month, they could increase the probability of achieving the results that they wanted?
Yes.
And do you think if they only went quarterly that they would slack off for 2 months for a majority of people and not achieve what they wanted?
Yeah, likely, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that if you ran that every single month, that you would increase the network connections that they have that would maximize their business potential?
Yeah, I think for them, and I think overall, these people are amazing, so it makes the world better.
Do you think that it would increase the level of energy and vitality that they'd have for their vision, knowing that every 4 weeks they've got accountability, every 4 weeks they're seeing people?
Yeah.
Would it increase the amount of value that you could give them during the week in terms of content, knowing that you're financially got something that's slowly providing you greater chances to grow?
Yes.
Do you think that would increase the probability of you being able to then take programs in Bali and other locations in the world as you grow your wealth?
Yes.
Would it also give them more trust in you? You wrote a book about entrepreneurism. You're quitting the 9-to-5. You can only do that if you maximize your financial potential. So it is important that you live a highly successful financial life in order for you to be able to share that with others.
Yeah. I can't preach what I don't practice.
Excellent. How does it help those people for you to challenge them to come up with an extra $50? Because that's financial mastery. So how does that help them?
Well, that helps them so they can have, that's what we just discussed, right? They can come every month, they can be inspired, connect more.
The saving part, because if you're challenging them to pay an extra 50, how does that really help those people? Because I know that whenever I've been challenged for something financially that was above what I was previously paying, I start looking at my finances differently. I start putting together Excel spreadsheets. I start looking at where I can save money. I get highly prioritized. So you're requesting that they organize their financial life and bring organization to that area of their life. How does that help people?
It makes them more on top of prioritizing what they value.
Yes.
If they're not going to put the extra $50, probably they don't value it enough.
So you're going to make sure
people that are going to
spend highly valuable. So you're going to minimize the people that are just coming because it's cheap, and you're going to maximize the people that are really there to create change.
Yeah, and then you make it better for everyone, because even through the whole group, all the people who come, they're highly motivated.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that separates you from other events, doesn't it?
It does.
And for the people that attend, they feel that you've done your job and brought in a highly, high energetic group of people that are inspired and dedicated.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm pumped already. I don't know how long it's been, but I'm like, let's set up that recurring monthly event and interaction, a group interaction, things like this. Yeah.
I love it. I got one more question for you here, though, because there's always two sides of the mind. What's the drawback of you continuing to charge the current price for those that attend the events? What's the drawback for them?
Well, the drawback is that it's less a priority for me because it's something where I don't feel I feel overall I get a lot out of it and I'm happy with it. But if I were to get even more, which is having fun, helping others, and great for my brand, which I already have, but plus the financial reward, I would prioritize it more. Well, now I'm like, this is great, but almost like a little having fun and giving back, like I'm organizing a party, you know, it's fun, but it doesn't come into the priorities.
Yeah. So up until it's financially set in a viable way, then you can only serve that audience to a certain degree. They're a second priority. They don't get.
Yeah, and I would add with this, I could automate a lot and make processes better too. So
that also means that if you don't charge that extra money, you don't get to give some of that extra money to other people to automize it and to grow in that area. And I saw people that help you. The people that help you love helping you. Do you think they'd love helping you if they got some money for that too?
Well, actually, that's a very good point, because one of the things is because we were not even breaking even on that event. What happens is all the amazing heart-centered people who come, they do a little bit like I'm doing. They do the job, but they also do it to give back. And so, for example, Will, the photographer and videographer, the amount we pay him, it's nice, but I would love to pay him more. I think he deserves more. So if we had more, we could also give back to those people who help.
Fantastic. So the people that are coming would be challenged to increase their finances, to really grow, to get serious about what they're doing, to value it more. The more I pay, the more I value something. I value my Louis Vuitton bag a lot because it cost me a lot of money. But if when I went to Thailand and bought one for $2, I didn't really care about it. A little wallet that I had, whether it got dirty or not. So you're bringing highly valuable people that truly are connected. Everybody's getting what they're worth, which means that everybody wants to come back. you see that if you don't make sure that you include that extra 50, that extra 50 is growth, evolution, love, and you giving 100% of your time, energy, and focus. But it changes the group too, because it changes the dynamics. So the people that are there also give the same thing back, because everybody gets paid equally. Everybody wants to come back, and you have longevity and equal exchange. So if you don't do that, you're going to choke the business. This isn't going to last for a long time. It's not going to have longevity, and the world isn't going to experience something that's truly beautiful, inspiring. And obviously, based on the way that you ended that ceremony, those people wanted more, and they want a leader, and you've got to lead. But not only do you lead, but what you offer them, it's an investment. For an extra 50, do you increase the probability of them meeting people that can help them in their services, increase the potential very highly?
Oh, completely.
Yeah. Networking groups. I know I forgot one that I went to. I think it was a couple of $100 a month or something. It was BNI or something like that. And they would charge like 2,000, 3,000 something a year just to sit in a room with people. And they were the same people, and try and connect and network with them. You could bring 40 different people, 39 different people, that every single month for an extra $50. Most people charge way more than $50 for their services anyway. So just by meeting one connection, two or three in 1 month, and having six or seven people that they serve, you're minimizing the potential of your clients making money. You're minimizing the potential of them setting up the networks. You're minimizing the potential of them growing. And when you do that, you can't help them either. So can you see that you asking for an extra $50 investment is much greater than you? It's much bigger than that. It's part of a bigger picture and a bigger vision.
Yeah.
Beautiful. How do you feel about doing that now?
I'm pumped. I'm excited. I want to, you know, reach out to the people who really value it, see what if they would be fine with it, sharing that vision.
Yeah.
And going back to actually already, I planned end of April when I'm back from Bali to do only an evening one. But now I'm like, okay, no, actually I want to scale that up. I want to do every month a full day one as we did, charging what it's worth.
Yeah. So I learned something a very long time ago. When I charged what I was worth, I loved what I was doing. I didn't second guess it. When the people that value what I was worth came and worked with me, I gave them everything that I had. And because I had enough money in my bank account when I charged what I was worth, when I wasn't with them, I could go and study. And I could just spend diligent amounts of time studying. But the people that didn't charge what they were worth would have to have one, two, three, or four part-time jobs on the side. And those part-time jobs would take them away from the mission and serving others, doing specifically what they're inspired by. I'm inspired to learn about human evolution, development, and growth, the conscious mind, and how that connects to the universe and resolving the world's biggest challenges. I love working 12 hours a day, and I need all 12 of those hours to discover the magnificence of the universe and work with as many clients as possible. It's the same with you. If I gave you 12 hours a day, if you just focus on this and it made $1 million a month, then you would be able to give so much value. You'd be looking after the most advanced speakers all around the globe, flying them down, finding, you'd be having a look at what you did, what you felt you did correctly, what you felt you could change. You'd be rigorously focusing on all the systems. There would be so many minute little things that you'd be changing every single month that the audience wouldn't even know about, but they'd just be coming back and going, wow, I just got more powerful. I wonder what happened. And it would have been hundreds of hours by you just to change little things and perfect it to the point where it was just so powerful from the start, people didn't know that. That's what you're here to do. But the only way that you can do that is by making sure that you have others invest in you, and they've got to invest at the amount that would allow it to grow. And they want to do that anyway. For anybody that truly understands what you're about, I went to the event on the weekend. You invited me to speak. I've now got 12 people, I believe, that I can have a conversation with this week that I didn't before. So in terms of value as a speaker, there are 12 people that I would have been playing golf on Saturday, but instead of playing golf, I got to open my heart, share my message, and now I've got 12 people that I have potential to serve. Beautiful. Now, the other thing that you said was some of these speakers, you're comparing yourself to them and you're looking at them and saying, I don't have the knowledge that they have. So who's one of those, whether it's me, whether it's Nicole, who's the speaker that you're most, you put on a place on a pedestal?
Let's take Nicole. Yeah.
Beautiful. And what specifically are you seeing in Nicole that you're not seeing in yourself?
It's a doubt about the genuineness about how heart-centered I am. I don't know why, but I have something in me where I feel a little bit of a imposture when Yeah, when I spread a message about love.
And what does heart-centeredness mean to you?
Well, it means selfless, let's say.
So to get selfless?
Selfless, yeah.
Okay. So we're going to start during 0 to 10 in your life. And I want you to write the following down. Friends. Mm-hmm. So write this down on the sheet of paper. Friends, family, mm-hmm. work colleagues, not necessary during that period, but we'll build up. Mm-hmm. Strangers. Mm-hmm. So friends, family, work colleagues, and strangers. Yeah.
Yes.
Group I'll start off with. So during 0 to 10, where were you in the world?
Sorry.
Whereabouts in the world were you during 0 to 10?
I was in Paris.
Okay, fantastic. Beautiful location. And were you with your family during that period?
Yes.
When is a specific moment where you remember being selfless and helping somebody in your family? Whether they got hurt, something was going on. When was that for you?
When I remember being selfless.
Yeah. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one older brother.
Beautiful. What's a specific challenge you remember him going through when you were at 0 to 10?
Like which fight, for example, but I can't remember exactly the challenge he was going through.
What do you remember helping him? Because I remember when I was 0 to 10, my brother was a little bit younger and there were times when I'd teach him how to play basketball. And I myself was taking my time out, showing the technique. There were other times where I pushed him and challenged him to grow. And he'd say, I can't do that. And I'd say, yes, you can. And I would have selfless, less time for me, more time for him. I'd commit to helping him in that area.
Interesting. I can remember him helping me, like to learn to count and to write, but I can't remember that much.
So did you spend time with your brother?
Yeah. We would play tennis. Help, for example.
So as an older brother, did he usually do things he wanted to do and you'd hang out with him sometimes?
Yeah, sure.
Beautiful. What were some of the things that you did when you hung out with him?
Playing tennis.
Beautiful. So go to a moment you remember playing tennis with him. Mm-hmm. In that moment, can you see that you were being selfless, less about you, equally much about him, and playing tennis with him, giving him your time, giving him your energy, making sure that he had a beautiful experience with a brother to be able to have
a there was a bit of competition. But
beautiful. Yeah. So can you see, has that helped him in life?
Yeah.
Interesting. And help increase his awareness and help him grow to be able to handle competition throughout his life. And he got to help. Mm-hmm. True. Beautiful. Yeah. With your family, where were you selfless and where did you help? Around the home, the kitchen, where else?
Zero to 10. I don't have that much memory around then.
Go 10 to 20 then.
Yeah, well, sometimes I'd help, you know, clean the dishes or cook food or emotional support if needed.
So who did you emotionally support?
Like my mom, for example.
Beautiful. It's okay. Yeah. So go to a moment where you emotionally supported your mom during 10 to 20, 10 to 20. In that period, was that something that she felt that she needed?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, did that help her?
Yes.
Did that show her that her son actually cared? Do you think that's valuable for her to experience?
Yes.
Did that open up her heart?
Yes.
Did that help clear a little bit of her mind?
Yes.
And that took your time, your energy, and your effort and wisdom above and beyond what you had in that moment for you to be selfless, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Who else? Go to friends during that period. You help 10 to 20. We've got friends. We go through things together. We go through challenges, breakups, girls, all kinds of things.
Yeah. It's very interesting though, as you go through this, memory is selective and I selected so much, not that much of, I think the past 2-3 years I've been way more outside my ego and helping. But of course, before there were plenty of time when I was also helping out, but my selective memory didn't keep it that much. So that's why I need a bit of time to
think. You've got a selective bias. That's what we're going to go 0 to 10, 10 to 20. We're going to slowly get to where you are now. But we're starting there. So focus. Who else did you serve? Which friends went through high emotional breakups, big challenges in their life that you were there for?
Well, 10 to 20, I have a really good friend from middle school.
Beautiful. What's his name?
Adelin.
Anna?
Adelin.
and a donor. Okay. Now, did they go through a breakup, or what was the challenge that they experienced?
Yeah, I could remember with there was a chick who was really, really in love, and you know, to offer discussion and emotional support when he was a bit obsessive about it.
There you go. So obsessive. So that means probably regular phone calls, a lot of your time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Regular messages, a lot of going back and forth and helping. Did that take you out of your day, your time, your mission, things that you were doing during the time?
Yeah, I think I was enjoying, but yeah, it would take time.
That's selfless, isn't it? Less about you, more about him. Did you check up on him as well? Make sure everything was okay?
Yeah.
That on a regular for that period? Were you regularly doing that?
Yes.
Okay. Did you spend money, take him out, or make sure he was cool? Let's go for a coffee or a baguette, I guess would be more appropriate.
yeah, for sure.
Okay. So can you see that you were less about yourself during that period, just as you see in Nicole? Because Nicole's not doing this. At the end of her talk, what does she say? I wasn't there, but I saw it in the group chat. This is what I have on offer. This is how I can serve you. Here's 25% off. But she's not coming and being completely selfless. We're all asking for something in equal exchange for our time. She also asked for something for equal exchange in that moment. So can you see that you're equally as with her? She spent 45 minutes sharing and opening her heart with knowledge. You spent months, if not weeks, with your friend sharing what it is that you knew and anything that you could do to help grow and evolve over the phone in person as much as you can. You see that?
Mm.
Excellent. Now, you said during this period of your life. So during this period, where have you been selfless? I'll give you one of them, the weekend. You said that you made less money. I usually run events to make money because when I make money, I can run more of those events. I can only serve to the degree that I'm running a profitable system where everybody's able to have equal exchange. So is that a selfless act to continue to bring events knowing that you haven't maximized the financial potential? You're thinking more about...
Well, as mentioned, it's also really good for my personal brand, and I have other ways to monetize my personal brand. So to me, it was still... I got a lot out of it.
Yeah, but it's still quite selfless, isn't it? It's not fully about you. A lot of people would run something
it's win-win.
There you go. So how else were you selfless on the weekend? Where were you less about yourself and more about others?
Yeah, even presenting, like with the presenters, I make sure everyone can have a light and not being too much in the center, to making sure that the people who come, they can express what they need to express, and holding space for that.
Beautiful. So thinking about the people, thinking about how they feel, thinking about the experience that they're having, overviewing that, kind of like, you know, looking down at everyone saying, how's this person feeling? How's that person feeling? Should I go and talk to that person? Do they feel like they're part of the group? So you're making sure the whole day, that's a lot of energy, isn't it?
It is.
It's a lot of energy outside of you to make sure that 40 individuals within the group feel comfortable and that you're consistently doing that. Even when you're timekeeping, are you trying to respect the time of every person that's there and the time that they've given you to make sure that the event runs on time, but every person is respected within that in case I have to leave so they get to appreciate all of it?
Yeah.
You keep the space open a little bit later than what you initially advertised. Now, after a long event, sometimes you just want to go home, put your feet up, relax, because there's been a lot of things that you've had to do. But you stay there, make sure people are still there, communicate, and hold a high level of energy. Is that very much selfless in terms of doing that?
Yeah, again, I think it helps, but I was having a really good time too.
Yeah, but that's still selfless in terms of you could have gone home. The event's done.
I've got
a lot of things to do, but no, I'm going to stay a little bit longer because I can see other people are also enjoying this.
Mm.
Other people are growing. Other people are sharing things. And you may have even seen other people that are building network connections or having exchanges. So you respect that also.
Yeah.
Beautiful. In terms of your closest friends, where have you been selfless during this period of your life? Who's had major challenges?
Yeah, I'm advising a lot of friends and giving time.
So give me two or three friends that you're advising, and what are you sharing?
Yeah, even the person I'm living with at the moment. So her name's Darren, and she's amazing and giving a lot, but I also hold space a lot.
Beautiful.
Quite a bit of energy to her.
okay, I know I had a housemate and in my field, helping people grow and evolve and overcome their challenges. Previously, not at the moment, I'm living with my girlfriend, but previously when he and I lived together, I found that at least once a day or a couple of times a day, I would be less about me, get into a conversation of a challenge he was facing, and it could be anywhere from 10 minutes to a whole hour or more, helping them overcome a challenge. Does that happen to you as well?
Yes.
If I counted the hours in a week that you communicate with this person to help them at times, could that go above 2 or 3 hours?
Mm.
That's pretty selfless, isn't it? Especially based on the things as an entrepreneur that you have to do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, I'm not going to go too far into this, but are you starting to see that just as much as she's selfless, giving to others and what you perceive to be less about herself, you are also less about yourself at times and giving to others?
Yeah.
And can you see that you're also getting something out of it? So is she. So it's not like she came as a martyr and then at the end of it finished it and said, thank you everybody, and walked off. She said, this is what I have to share. This is who I am. And this is how I serve. And then after that, share with everybody how they could contribute to her and her mission. Can you see that you're doing the same thing too?
Mm-hmm.
And can you see that where she goes and speaks and gets invited, you organize the whole thing and bring everybody in? So that takes just as much expertise as going and coming, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So as we're doing this, can you see that you're starting to become more equally as selfless as what she is?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Now that would require a little bit more work in terms of that, but I'm cautious of the time that we have. Mm-hmm. And this is really great for the audience, since you'll be able to see the breakthrough that you had previously. And you said, before we started, you said, how long does it take to do a breakthrough? How long's a piece of string? But you noticed that you had a bigger breakthrough in the first part in terms of the finances than what you're currently having now. And whenever that occurs, that just means it's an area that's more highly charged and involves more work. In terms of that, that's not good or bad. Sometimes we're breaking through and having profound tears of gratitude and goosebumps. And other times we're breaking the hold of that and it actually requires more work. That's why I consult with clients.
Mm.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is that what you have to offer and what you share with the world is different to what she does. She's got a movement that she's got. You've got a movement that you have. You're not interested in doing it the same way she does. Now, when you talk and communicate and share with people, you're sharing equally as much knowledge in terms of their growth, but you're doing it in your way. And then you have an opportunity to connect them to 39 other people every single month. Now that's pretty highly valuable from a coach, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is.
If I, as a coach, I do that with my Facebook group. I say to people, I'm going to work with you, but even when we're done, I'm going to have another couple hundred of people that you can connect with, ask questions, they'll ask questions, and you'll all continue to grow. And I'll film videos and communicate as well as in person with you. Well, you do that, but you also add it in person. So you got an extra service to what I do. And that in service, having people. So if you, let's say somebody consults with you, how many hours a week or per month would they consult with you?
Like 1 hour a week.
Beautiful. So they get an hour per week with you for how long?
It's the person I'm working with at the moment, for example, it's indefinite.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. So I usually do 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 6 months or a year packages. So with yours, you've got a longer period to increase the level of value. True?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're increasing the level of value of that. You also, I'm just going to compare you to me to show you that you have what it is that you're looking for. You also have a Facebook community. How many people do you have as you're building in the masterminds and everything else? How many people do you have in that network?
About a mastermind would be about 150. Then I have way more in other communities.
Beautiful. So would you say a couple of hundred?
Total?
Yeah.
Well, in Bondi Conscious Community, there's 1,000 members, but I don't know how engaged they are.
Beautiful. But you still bring over 1,200 plus people that have an opportunity to connect with. Because they become part of a community. So you're offering more in terms of a community than I am. Also, when they go to the events, do they have an opportunity to connect and see you at least once a month, if not twice a month?
Yeah.
Okay. Most of my clients speak to me via video chat. It's convenient, but they don't actually get that physical contact with me. Only a rare few get to do that, depending on where I am in the country. So you giving them that opportunity to give you a hug, to see you, to spend time with you, and not only to grow with you, but to have myself and Nicole and many other speakers there, that they get to expand their mind, evolve and grow in many different ways.
Yeah.
Okay, that's value that you're bringing there. do you also have an opportunity to really look at them? And everybody knows your hugs. Give them a hug and let them know how much you care about them during those events, and then make sure that they understand the full mind-body connection, mastery of all seven areas during those events. Mm-hmm. You also have the ability to hold them accountable once a month just by running those events, making sure that they've got a checkup from the neck up. I'm here now. What were my goals? Where am I? So they do that with you on a weekly basis. Then on a monthly basis, they get to have a surge. It's different when you're in a group like that, isn't it? The energy, other people, it just tenfolds. So are you seeing that you have a lot of value there?
Yeah.
So if you don't charge accordingly for that, how are you meant to increase the value of what you offer that person? You're already offering all of those things above and beyond what I do. If you continue to add to that, monetize, video, set videos where you consistently add more value, a couple of hours every single month, you're going to have just as much. One thing I can say about my service, I do one thing to increase my value. I find the biggest challenges that my clients are facing, and then I put those into easily set upable videos so that each one of those clients can watch those for challenges they may not even be having there and then, challenges they may be having later. So if you have a look at your clients, have a look at the biggest challenges they face, write them down, come up with solutions in short 5-minute videos to take them step by step through that. Once you do that, not only are they going to be able to work with you, but then they're also going to see that Alex has got answers for things that above and beyond the next areas that I evolve to, and he's already got it prepared for me. So that way, if you add an extra 100 hours worth of videos in the next 6 months, you have to increase your fee because of the amount of time that it takes to do that. If you can solve more problems for those clients, you're worth more to them. And if you solve more of those problems sooner, they make more money, they grow, they evolve, they have more wellness. These are all things that can help. Does that help with that? And some of the questions that you had?
Yeah, that's super powerful.
Phenomenal. So in terms of the neediness, hope we've got enough time to go through some of these.
Yeah.
What's the benefit and the service to your audience of you holding space and not needing anybody else?
Can you repeat that?
So what's the benefit and service to your audience of you holding space and not needing anybody else to do that?
I think the spaces that I create are very unique. They wouldn't exist if I wasn't creating them.
So does that mean that you get to share more of your unique genius? At the end of your talk, I could see that people wanted more of you. You backed down from the spotlight. You kind of said thanks and stepped back. But the truth of the matter is, the reason you got pushed into that spotlight, and everybody clapped for you more than I'd seen them clap for me or anybody else. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
They wanted more Alex. So what's the benefit of you sharing that space, holding that space, and giving them what it is that you have to offer? One is that they're going to get a sense of fulfillment, because they want that. They're not getting it at the moment. True?
Yeah. I think a lot of people come also because they're quite inspired by how I've done it and want to learn from it. So by not putting myself too much in the light, I also prevent them from learning from that.
So you're taking away from what they came there to achieve.
Yeah.
They want to hear the speakers, but they know you more than they know us as speakers. They also want to hear from you. They want to hear, what are you doing? How are you doing it? What are the challenges you're going through? What are the ways that you're overcoming that? And if you share that with them, do you think that would help them to overcome their challenges?
Yes.
Do you think it would help them to humble themselves and realize, hey, he's just a regular guy, but far out, he works hard. And by him working hard, he's finding out more and more. And I love that, and feel more connected to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bring a message, you're heartfelt, you give people to touch, to communicate, to hug, and to hold. Does that mean that the audience really understands what we're there to do, the more that you actually share that?
Yes.
The more that you own your space, do you feel that the more that people would feel that they can connect with you, not just us as speakers, but with you individually, and then come to you so that you can help change their life?
Yes.
You're the glue that holds it all together. The stronger that you are, the stronger that we all are. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Would it also separate you so that people felt comfortable enough to come and communicate? Because the more you talk, the more you hold space, the more things you're communicating about that are important and valuable. Do you think that you'd have more people that stop you during the event and say, Alex, that thing that you spoke about earlier, or that thing that you spoke about during the break, do you mind if we have a phone call this week? I'd love to hear more about that because I'm going through that.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting balance too, you know. Like I held the cacao ceremony, I felt like I've been talking quite a bit, but did you feel I should be more, a bit more in the spotlight?
I think you definitely should be more. If at the end of the day, everybody wants more of your time, I feel that you walk in, you kind of step in a little bit, but I feel that you don't want to hold the limelight too much. You step back afterwards and you let everybody else jump in. Mm. I feel that there's a part of you, you said it before, the neediness. So if you said neediness, that means I feel you want more of the limelight, not for just the sake of having it to be a celebrity status, but you feel that there's something inside you that you want to share equal to those around you that you're seeing, and you want to have that impact on the audience as well. I can feel that inside of you.
Yeah, neediness, I was talking about, like needing, when I speak to someone, almost like I need that person to come to the event, feeling like they, having that thought that they're making a favor to me when they come.
Yeah.
Not that much during the event.
During the event. Okay, I got you.
It's more before, to get people to come.
Yeah. So the truth of the matter is that they don't need to come to the event. You don't need them there. What you actually are serving, if they come, there's a value to that. But there isn't a need for any of it to occur. The truth is the people that are most in need in their perception or have the most value for that service, they'll be the ones that come to that. But I definitely feel that what you said before, you compare yourself sometimes to other speakers and think, I don't have as much knowledge as they do. I don't have as much as they do. But as you saw before, your heart, you selflessly have been helping people zero all the way from now, equally to what you've seen in others. And that what you have to offer is above and beyond what you've actually been charging. And what you have to share and what people want to see is so much more out of you. And if you actually give yourself permission to do that, I feel people will be more fulfilled. I feel that then, and it's not even about having the spotlight for the sake of it. The real purpose of having the spotlight, meaning everybody listening to you, is to share a heart-inspired mission, something that's so deep inside of you that you wake up in the morning and you can't wait to share that with humanity. Mm. That's what I'm talking about you sharing more of. And that's what I'm talking about, because the minute you do that, everybody in the room stops. They just wait to listen to you. They can feel it as well. And the minute they feel that, that brings the whole thing together and holds it together. I definitely feel that you should have more space to communicate about that and share that, even if it's just a good 20 or 30 minutes of just you sharing from the heart. Less movement, less pumping up, just from the heart. I always felt that those things were great, but when you open up the heart and have an inspired message, you don't have to pump people up. Your words will get them so pumped or in tears of gratitude that they'll just be in their seats wanting more. I'd love to see more of that personally.
Thanks.
Yeah. So it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I know that you're wary of time because you've got something after this, today's podcast. But how were some of the insights that you received today?
I think the main insight is paradoxically, what will serve me and everyone best is if I think less of me in a way. So yeah, when I put it in perspective and remember why I'm doing it and add all the elements we've discussed during this podcast, it becomes obvious that, let's say, when I think about charging more, there's a kind of a smaller version of myself that thinks that there might be some conditioning there, but that it's greedy, or I'm taking advantage, or maybe not. But then when you put the whole picture and perspective into it, it's actually a very, it's good for everyone to increase it. And yeah, I just don't have that perspective. So for me, the main thing is to remember putting these things in perspective for the greater mission. And then not only I do it, but I do it knowing that it's better for everyone. So without any guilt or shame around it.
So guilt and shame come from perceiving that something that you're doing is going to cause other people more pain than pleasure, drawbacks and benefits, disservice and service, disease and ease. But that's not the case, because as I've grown, as I've evolved, as I've charged more, I've always given more. So the key is guilt change. Charge more, give more.
And it's even the same with speaking, you know, always thinking about, I don't know why, in general, I know that what I'm doing helps people. I know these things, but in the moment, I don't remember it. And some of my decision I'd taken by that, let's say, version of myself that forgets about the greater picture.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, it's the equal exchange. So before you get me to get up to do a talk, usually I'm just after you do some breath work and just after you get people to close their eyes. Now, usually you're getting people to pump their hands up and do a lot of things. Usually I'm in a suit, so my hands will only go so high in a tailored suit if I'm ripping it. But what I do is I kind of modify what you're saying and I tune in to the greater purpose and mission, because that's always bigger than whatever it is that I'm there speaking about. And for me, I tune in, if I do it now, I tune in to the gentleman or the young kid that first saw Dee Martini talk and broke through all perceptions of his father and looked on stage and said, I want to do what that man does. I'm born to do that. One day I'll get up on stage and share my wisdom and help everybody grow and evolve. And as I open my eyes, I've got tears of gratitude there. So before your talk at Unity, when my girlfriend looked at me, she said, are you already in tears before I spoke? I said, when you asked us to close our eyes, I tuned into the greater vision and the greater mission. When you're focusing on something that big, little things don't make a difference. So when by the time I started talking, it wasn't an issue of getting me to talk. It was probably harder to get me to shut up because I could see a vision that was so big and so grand and helped humanity so much that I was just a vessel to help that happen. I focused less on me as a person and I focused on the collaboration of myself and others and the unity of what I was there to serve and offer and what I am for the world. I do that every time I talk, and I'd recommend you do the same thing too. And don't stop until you get tears of gratitude, because when you hit tears of gratitude, you've had it before. You could tell the difference. This is amazing for the audience. If I show them the two videos of the first one where we broke through in like 15 minutes and you could see that you had goosebumps, there was an instantaneous feedback symptomology to show that there was a state of enlightenment growing in you. The second one was a bigger charge and actually requires more. I've got a whole process for that that would take 1 or 2 hours to really break through, but you can see the difference in those. The true genius and the master has the ability to do what you did in that first breakthrough and reach goosebumps and tears of gratitude at a very quick period in space and time to open up their heart to a big mission. I'm going to give you that exercise to do. Before everybody gets there, just maybe take a moment, go to the toilet, don't let anybody see you, and just focus in and get in on the mission and just ask yourself, for what purpose? For what? Just keep doing it deeper and deeper. So you'll start off by saying, I'm here to present a talk. For what purpose? I'm here to inspire others to grow businesses. For what purpose? I believe humanity deserves to spend and meet quality people that help them change this whole planet. For what purpose? I actually want to change the planet. For what purpose? I believe I'm worthy of doing that. It's what I've always wanted to do. I don't say it out loud, but goddamn, I want to do that. And just keep going to what purpose until you end up with tears and you realize you shed those layers and you get down to what the real, true, authentic Alex wants and what the deepest mission is. By the time you get to that and you walk out, you're not talking to an audience. You're talking to the world and they're representatives of the world. And you've got a deeper mission that's inside of you that can't be held back. And they're there to listen to it. And because there's a divine perfection within the universe, nothing happens out of mistakes. They've been given to you and they're there to help you grow and evolve. And you're there to do the same. And it's an equal exchange of love and gratitude. I think the next talk people aren't going to be ready for what Alex has. Love it. Absolutely love it. And I see a beautiful radiance in your face and a smile at the moment. So that must have resonated with you.
Yeah, you can feel vibes even through a Zoom call. It's beautiful.
Yeah. True. A lot of people don't understand this. They'll say feel vibes, but what feel vibes are is we look at it through our five senses and we can see things, a softening of the face, a relaxing of the muscles, and just a general energy change inside of you that's just beautiful. That's what I'm looking for. That if that comes out and talks to people, forget about it. You've got 100 people the next talk that you do, because people will come for that every time. Absolutely beautiful. And does that carry us through for today? Do you have more time? How are we going for you?
Let's finish really quickly. Well, thanks so much to start with. I'm like in a very, it's interesting. I'm in a really interesting state right now because like I got pumped, but at the same time, feeling like integration is coming through, which is really cool. So I'll finish with asking you, like, you talked a bit about it, but in 2-3 minutes, what's the bigger picture for you of what you're doing? Can you explain a bit more on this?
And so my company is called Quantum Equilibrium, and I work with clients one-on-one. But one of the major things that I notice is that clients come in and day out with challenges they've had for days, weeks, months, or years. And the people that I work with, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, and neither of these services is correct or incorrect, but a lot of the times they're unsatisfied with what they've worked through. And then within a couple of weeks or months, it's done. Whatever they've been trying to overcome is resolved. And I see these profound changes. My biggest picture is to open up the Quantum Equilibrium Center within Sydney and then Melbourne, and then just have that all around. We have facilitators and my emotional specialists working with clients day in and day out, back to back, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m., just working with hundreds of people per week to help them create profound changes, transition forward, and then have that same impact and give themselves permission to do that at the greatest degree. Because I work with clients. I got one of my clients at the moment. They could serve 150, 200 people a year. They came in highly depressed, the lowest spectrum of their group. Everyone was helping them. Now he's running workshops and helping people create change from one end of the spectrum to another. I want to align the world by having as many people do that as possible. Come in at their lowest points or just wanting to achieve goals and maximize potential, and then walk out and go and serve humanity. And the more numbers I have doing that, the more people I have doing that, the more I have a chance of creating global change. And that's what I'm interested in doing. That's a greater mission for me.
Phew. Yeah, Emmanuel, I have so much admiration for your passion and your dedication and commitment. And definitely makes me want to work with you for sure. And I'm sure for the listeners too. So how can they reach out?
So to reach out, you can either get in contact with Alex or you can get in contact with myself. You can do that by, let me pull up my sheet here. I never know my 1-300 number because I'm used to my phone's calling me. 1-300-792-552 or info@emmanuelanthony.com.au. So they're the two contacts, and feel free to reach out. I offer a complimentary 20-minute discovery call. It's an opportunity for us to have a conversation, find out your biggest challenges, your biggest obstacles, and how I may be of service.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex.
That's pretty powerful. I'd love to have people's feedback on how it is to have a podcast run a little bit differently, but I think it was amazing value for me, of course, for you too, and for the listeners. So, very grateful.
Thank you. And by the way, can I just say to everyone, thank you for Alex for doing that, because it takes a lot. When he said to me, I want to have a mini breakthrough with you, I push harder than that with my clients when we do breakthroughs, but he's doing this in front of all of you, even though you're not listening to this yet. So it takes a strong person to be able to open their heart and share everything that he did. When I work with clients, there's nothing that is left off the table because we can't work through what we don't know. So well done to you, Alex, for opening your heart for the truth about your business, non-judgmentally, for everybody else to be able to see and see humbly who you are as a person and how, no matter how great you are, no matter the books that you've written, no matter how many great workshops you put together, you still have the authenticity and the humbleness to say, I'm a regular person working one challenge at a time to increase my level of mastery and then share that with you guys. So I think that's going to humble just as many people.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah, that's what I want to do too, is, you know, ultimately we're all one, right? So people, when I look at other people, I know their reflection of me and also myself. I want to help being a vessel for people to be inspired. And I think doing a work that's the work you've just done on me, the listener can see how much it relates to them, but often it will relate a lot to them too and make them think and help them.
I always say, and it's the work that we do with each other. I never do anything to anybody. We're a team, and I work great if it's just me, but I work phenomenal when it's you and I. So great work, team.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you to the listener, and we'll stop this now.
Ciao. See you, everybody.
Welcome to Dreamers and Doers. Super excited about today's podcast. I'm interviewing Emmanuel Anthony, but instead of doing a regular podcast interview, he does a breakthrough session with me. So he's a business coach,
been following the John DeMartini method. And during that session, I go very vulnerable, and I think it can help you a lot to see how this could resonate with you and also the work Emmanuel provides. So enjoy.